finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle isn't against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I'm doing and what I'm doing. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. This is God's word.
Claire, thanks so much. Good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you. Can I ask you to keep that passage open, please? So, Ephesians. Oh, I'm just going to move this. Sunday club, I think this is your time to depart. Also, just while they're going, if you are retirement age, remember tea at 3 is on Thursday at 3 here in the building. It'd be lovely to see you then. Finally, we're at the end of Ephesians, end of the series, and it's been a joy, and it's going to be no less a joy to see what God has to say to us this morning, and we're going to need his help. So let me lead us in prayer. Let me pray. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are the awesome one, the Holy One. You are the one who has revealed the mystery of your plan to bring all things under one head, Jesus Christ. And that in your kindness, you've included us in that plan if we're Christians. We are your people for the praise of your glory. And yet so often we struggle. And our Father, as we come to your words this morning, we pray for power. Power to understand, to see what is true of you, of ourselves, of our battle in walking with you. And we pray that you would encourage us and strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes war can feel remote, it's in another continent. Or it can feel like it's long ago, another century. But if I say the word war to you this morning, I suspect what you are thinking of is much closer to home. And as we have watched the plight of our dear fellow people out in the Ukraine, as they have fled for their lives, as they are hiding in bunkers, as those graves are exposed or those bombs rain down and those people are fighting, our hearts just go out to them. As we see those images and the devastating consequences, it causes us to grieve at the evil and the sin and the death that we see. It causes us to cry out to God for peace. It drives us to care, to give, especially to those coming into Ireland. As we come to Ephesians 6 this morning, we actually come to another war. It's a war that is even closer to home. It's a war that is going on right now in our lives. It might not feel as serious as what we are seeing on our TV screens, but it has eternal consequences. Have a look with me, verse 10, chapter 6. Paul writes to these Ephesians, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Paul says to these Christians in Ephesus, there's a war going on. It's not a physical war. It's not a war against flesh and blood. It's a war for our souls. It's a war against the devil and his associates. It's a war for the future of the church. It's a war for the glory of God. Now, as we sit here in Dublin this morning, you might think, well, no, I don't feel like I'm at war. Let me ask you, even on a Sunday, do you ever find Sunday morning that often before you get to church, there is a fight with someone in the home? Or as you're thinking of coming, there's some distraction that really tempts you not to come. Or you get to church, and you know we're supposed to be God's people together, but it's that other person, what they say to you, or what they do, or what they haven't done, and it just gets you annoyed. Or actually, after church, or maybe it's youth group on a Friday night, or home group midweek, you during that you were just really deeply challenged, a deep experience of meeting with God through his word. You think, yeah, I really want to live for Jesus now. And then the next day, well, you're rude to that colleague. Or you're too scared to talk about church with your school friend. Or the thing you said, I'm not going to do that again, you find yourself doing it. Or that thing that you said you would do, you don't do. If we're Christians, why is that? Although we know we belong to Jesus, why is it that so often we fail to live for him? The answer, and what we see here in this passage, is because every day is a fight, not just against our own sin, but against the devil. A fight with the devil. Where is the battleground? Is it sort of only in sort of strange kind of spiritual situations? No, it is in the ordinary, every day. That's what we're going to see. Paul, do you remember, has written this letter to these groups of Christians living in Ephesus. And chapters 1-3, he's been saying, God has got this great plan to bring all things in this war-torn, broken, sinful world under the rule of Jesus Christ. And God's people, the church, those in Christ, are his new humanity. Yes, they look forward to that future world, that glorious inheritance where there will be peace and joy for all eternity. But in the here and now, as God's new humanity, they are to live out what it is like to live under Jesus' rule. Do you remember chapter 3 and verse 10? God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God will be made known to who? The rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. that to show everyone the wisdom, the power, the glory of God, not just everyone on the earth, but including the devil, the spiritual forces and powers in the heavenly realms. God's got this plan, Paul says. And then chapters 4 to 6, he says, the way to live under Jesus' rule, to show his greatness, isn't in sort of weird spirituality stuff. It's in the earthy everyday. It's in, well, chapter 4, it's the local church. It's chapter 4, verse 2, bearing with one another in love. It's keeping the bond of peace. It's keeping the unity, forgiving one another. It's in the world, living as children of the light, in goodness, in sexual purity and love. It's in marriages that show the gospel and the grace of God. It's in where children obey and parents train and teach. It's in the workplace where work is worship. That's how we're to live under Jesus' rule. And you know what? When we do that, the devil hates it. Every day he schemes. He fights against God, against his people in their everyday lives to attack our faith and our witness, and especially to attack the church, the place where God is showing the world how great Jesus is. And so, chapter 6, verse 10, Paul says, finally. It's not a change of subject as if he's sort of gone, oh, I haven't said anything about spiritual warfare. I better put something on the end of the letter about that. No, it's finally, because living for Jesus in the everyday, what he's been talking about in chapters 4 to 6 is spiritual warfare. Let me ask you, how are you doing? How have you done in the past week at this? Do you feel like you've been really strong? You've warded off every attack? You've been absolutely single-minded in your focus? Or have you found much more like me, it has been a real struggle? There have been times where we failed. If you need some encouragement, if you need some help, if you need some power, I do, well, this passage is brilliant for us. The purpose of this passage is to help us to stand. If you like, there's one big thing Paul is saying, and it's stand. Look, verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Or verse 13, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, verse 14, stand firm then. Here is how to stand. Why do we need to stand? That's what we're going to look at first. And we're going to look at the enemy. And then how do we stand? And if you're following the outline on the back of the sheet, slightly different from what you've got. But how to stand, we'll look at three ways. So first of all, why do we need to stand? The enemy, we're going to look at the enemy and the fact we need to stand against the devil. If I say Easter Bunny to you, I'm just having a quick scan on ages of people in the room, right? Okay. If I say Easter Bunny to you, do you think real or not real? Okay, stick your hand in the air if you think he's real. Not real? There's quite a few people with your hands down. Okay. Come and chat to me afterwards. If I say devil to you, what do you think? Many people think he's like the Easter Bunny. Just a little bit of fun, bit of make-believe. The Bible tells us to open our minds, to realize that all that we see is not all there is. So verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, not what we can see, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers. These are spiritual powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There are evil forces, and the devil is the commander-in-chief. What does that mean for us? It means we should expect spiritual attack. What does spiritual attack look like? Miriam and I had moved into a new home, and a friend had come round to sort of visit us. And while she was there, she prayed that the devil wouldn't be in our bedroom cupboard. And I can't remember afterwards whether I went to have a look and see if there was anything in the cupboard. On reflection, I wonder, was it actually something to do with my dress sense that she was praying about? I don't know. What is spiritual attack? She'll be worried that the devil's in the cupboard? There's no sense of that in Ephesians. Or as we'll see in this passage, the devil is way more subtle. Verse 11, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. That this word schemes carries with it the ideas of lies, deceit, deception. What started in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, as the devil made them doubt and distrust and deny God, goes on today. And so we should expect him to do the same to us today, to undermine our faith, to make us feel, oh, God really, I don't know if he does love me, he does care. God, is he really real? We should expect him to divide the church, to think that actually, as we're chatting over coffee afterwards, you know, a little bit of gossip about those people over there, that's no harm, is it? Well, that person we fell out with last week, well, I think I'm not going to deal with that. It's just easier to avoid them. We should expect strain in our families. That marriage is hard, that being a child, being a parent is hard. We should expect him to undermine our witness at work, to make it really difficult, or just to throw anything at us in life to make us struggle in our faith. It's a real war. Every day we've got to stand our ground, and every day that we do, it is a miracle. Can I ask you, do you see any of the battles now, maybe looking back to the last week? See any of the battles? What do we do? How do we stand? Well, we're going to look at three ways. Here's the defense, if you'd like. Stand in the Lord is the sort of title, but three ways we'll look at how to stand in the Lord. It's not actually obvious in our English translation here, but the word power is repeated through this passage. Let me show you. So verse 10, be strong in the Lord is literally be powerful. Or verse 11, so that you can take your stand is so that you have power to take your stand. Or verse 13, the same again. You may be able to stand your ground is that you have power to stand your ground. Or verse 16, take up the shield of faith with which you can. It's that you have power to establish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Do you remember, I don't know if you do, a very long time ago when we started Ephesians, the big question that's going on in Ephesians' mind is, who has the power? And we saw it's not the Roman Empire. It's not that great temple of Artemis. It's not the goddess Artemis. It's not the devil. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the call to stand here is a call not to sort of DIY, let's do this in our own strength, try harder. Or sort of learn spiritual techniques, you know, is it, oh, I don't know, like, how do I pick up the shield of faith? I'm not very good with a sword. Do I need to get better if I'm going to use the sword of the Spirit? It's not spiritual techniques. Notice this. The armor is the armor of God. Do you see that? Verse 11, verse 13, it's God's armor. I think it's easy, and I definitely have done this. You're sort of picturing Paul writing this letter in his prison cell, and he's thinking, oh, I want to talk about power and sort of spiritual warfare. We're like, what could I use to help? Oh, look at that soldier. Look what he's wearing. Oh, yeah, let's go with that. That would be a great illustration to tack onto the letter of the Ephesians. No, the reason Paul writes the way he does here is because he's read Isaiah. Every bit of armor here mentioned in this passage is found in the prophet Isaiah. If we had time, we'd look at them. You can look later at Isaiah 11, Isaiah 52, Isaiah 59. I'm just really going to quickly read a few verses from Isaiah 59. Halfway through 15, the Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. Here it is. He put on his righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. The person wearing the armor, it's not Isaiah, it's not a regular Israelite. No, it is God. Or actually in Isaiah, it's also God's Messiah. It's saying that God is a mighty warrior. And this is what he wears when he comes to judge and when he comes to save. And so as we come back to Ephesians 6, this is hugely encouraging. Because as we read of this armor, if I can ever find it, as Christians, we are joined to Jesus. Do you remember that? We're in Christ. We don't sort of get some bits of armor we've got to sort of learn how to use to protect us. We get God. God's protection. God is our armor, the mighty warrior, the one fighting at our side. And notice too, the armor of God. Well, it's gospel armor. Did you notice that? So verse 14, it's the belt of truth. The gospel, the message of truth. It's the breastplate of righteousness. It's the gospel of peace, end of verse 15. The helmet of salvation, verse 17. It's all things that we get through our faith in Jesus. It is gospel armor. The way to stand against the devil is to put on, or really to make use of the gospel armor we already have, Jesus. To depend on the salvation and protection we already have. What does that look like? Well, the devil might come along and go, I'm going to just spread some lies. And say, Ed, you know that sin? It's not really that bad. You've had a hard day. It's understandable. You know, everybody does it. Or that sin, it's not that bad. You don't need to bring it to Jesus. You can deal with it yourself. You don't need Jesus. And me, as I have these temptations, this battle going on, what do? I've got to put on the belt of truth. Remember the word of truth, the gospel. I say, no, sin is so serious, it's going to send me to hell. But Jesus is so loving. He died for my sin. He redeemed me. He forgave me. And the devil thinks, oh, well, that didn't work. Let's try a different tactic. Ed, you know, you talk about sin. Well, God wouldn't want someone like you. You're such a terrible sinner. He'd never love you. And what have I got to do? I've got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. I go, yeah, you're right, I'm a sinner. But I know my Savior isn't. I know you tried to tempt him. I know that happened in the desert or when Peter tried to tempt him or even on the cross, but he never sinned. He was righteous and he has given me his righteousness. And actually, I'm even going to try and live that out even when I fail. And the devil thinks, oh no, I better send some of my arrows, some of those things that are really going to hurt. They're really going to burn. And say, Ed, you think God cares about you? Well, look at the state of your health. Or look at the state of your work. Or maybe for you, it's look at the state of your business. Or the state of your love life. Or the state of your family. And the devil says, you think God cares? And we've got to pick up the shield of faith. We look again to Jesus, we trust in him, and I say, Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. I think I'll stick with him. He loves me. He cares. Where are you tempted? Tempted to listen to those devil's lies, that deceit, to doubt God's goodness, or to disobey God's good ways? Well, look at this. Put on the armor. Remember again God's power far above and beyond the devil's and the promises of the gospel. That means we don't need to be afraid. Yes, we should expect spiritual attack, but we should also expect in God's strength to stand. Not that we never sin, but that we stay Christian. Not because we're strong, but because Jesus is. Because he's blessed us beyond compare, because he can keep us even when we fail. We should expect to stand. Do you know what is actually fascinating when you get into these verses is that all of these commands are actually plural. And so we should stand together. That actually this is a call for us to stand together. This is not sort of a solo fight. And if we're trying to do this fight on our own, we're on dangerous ground. No, together we should encourage one another to stand. We should speak truth to one another daily, which actually means we need to be honest with one another about where we struggle. It's that will help us fight against the devil's lies. Standing is putting on the armor. Secondly, standing is praying. Look at verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me. As a family, we're watching an old BBC drama called Merlin. I don't know if any of you watched it back when it was on. But in it, Merlin's actually not the great wizard at this point. He's just a servant of King Arthur. And he has to help Arthur with everything. But when Arthur goes to fight as a knight, well, Merlin is the one who's got to put all the armor on. And King Arthur, he just can't even do it himself. He needs Merlin. Actually, for us, as we put on the armor, prayers, they're not sort of part of the armor. It's not another bit of armor. It's, if you like, how we put on the armor. We pray. Because in our weakness, as we pray, we take hold of Jesus and his strength. And you say, well, what about this bit, verse 18, pray in the Spirit? Well, what does that mean? Well, it's not some sort of weird super prayer. Verse 17, if the sword of the Spirit is the word of God, this is prayers in line with the Spirit's desires. And where do you find them? Well, in the word that the Spirit wrote. It's prayers in line with God's word. And we're to pray all occasions, all kinds of prayers, always for all the saints. I mean, we need to stop everything, no more work, no more other responsibilities, and just pray, pray, pray. Should we join a monastery or just be having 24-hour prayer meetings constantly? No, it doesn't mean that. It means a life of dependence. A life of dependence, which will include much verbal prayer. And goodness me, I find that challenging. To be constantly depending on God and praying for his help. And it should be for all the saints, not just ourselves, but for everyone, for all Christians. Standing is praying, and standing is proclaiming. We missed out mentioning a couple of pieces of armor. Did you notice? Well, I haven't mentioned the shoes, verse 15. Very briefly, we talked about the sword, verse 17. When I was, I think, about 8, I went into Dowling's in Ranelagh. Anyone remember Dowling's? No? Shoe shop? Oh, I've got one hand. Great. I remember going into Dowling's. It was an old school, shoe shop, and it was, no fancy displays, just boxes and boxes of shoes. And I was really excited. I was going to get my first pair of football boots. because I needed the right footwear for the battle as I went out to play on Saturday. I think they might have been my last pair of football boots, which probably tells you how good I was at football. But if I'd gone into Dowling's and I'd said, I need Christian footwear, I mean, he probably would have looked at me like I had two heads, but he should have given me feet that were ready for battle. Look at verse 15. With your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. He should have given me gospel shoes. As we taste the wonder of peace with God, of the Almighty One by our side, actually, the more we will want to share this, we'll have a readiness to take this gospel of peace to those who desperately need it. But actually, Mr. Dowling should also have given me a sword. I think, again, as an 8-year-old, I would have been pretty surprised. But what is this sword? It's the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Actually, the word here, that word is actually, could be better translated, message. It's talking again about the gospel. The way to fight against the devil is not just defense, it's actually offense. With the right shoes on and the sword in your hand, we can fight back. How? Not by crusades. Not physical swords. Absolutely not violence or bombs or tanks. But with the Word of God. Proclaiming the victory of Jesus Christ over sin and the devil and death. And that's what Paul asks for courage for in verse 19. He says, pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. We should pray for this courage too, that we might fight back too, because as we speak of Jesus, we are dismantling the devil's kingdom. It's being destroyed. Standing is putting on the armor. Standing is praying. Standing is proclaiming. Do we realize there is a war going on? Right now, right here, for the future of the church, for our souls, for the glory of God. Will we open our eyes? Will we see the enemy? Will we take up the armor? Will we pray? Will we proclaim and stand? As you go into this coming week, there will be times where it's going to be tough, where it's a real challenge, where you're really tempted. When you feel that attack, will you remember? The enemy is real. He is powerful. But in Jesus, we have the greater power and the greater protection of Almighty God. And so Paul says to us, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Let me lead us in prayer. Almighty God, you know how at times we are just so weak that our warmest thoughts are cool, that we in our own strength have so little capacity to resist. And yet we praise you that we are in Christ. And in him we have you, Almighty God, as our protector, as our shield, as our defender. And so we pray that by your power, and as we put our faith again in your Son, the Lord Jesus, you enable us to stand. Stand when the temptations come. Stand when the circumstances are really rough this week. Would you help us to help each other to stand for your glory? And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.